Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of Random Chatter. Today we're going to be going over our top five favorite shows of 2021. We're going to be covering our, not necessarily the best shows, but what are our personal favorites. Okay, so I'm Eric. I'm joined by Tim and Lou. Tim, how are you doing tonight?
I'm good. Typing. I'm typing. How are you?
I'm about to type because I just see that I had a big typo in the episode title here on YouTube, so I'm going to have to fix that when the show's done. This is apparently episode 3,723 of Random Chatter.
I know. Wow. Right?
We've been around for a long time. Yeah. Speaking of things that have been around for a long time, how you doing, Lou?
Oh, I knew it was coming. I knew I could. I couldn't even get the words out before you said it. I was like, "Oh, here it comes!"
Wow.
I am doing great. My walker's over here next to me, and I'm all set. Yeah, thanks.
Hey, it was too perfect to transition. Like,
he's ready.
I didn't even have to try on
though.
That one. It just rolled right into. I'm like, I can't turn this one down. It's gold. speaking of gold, we are going to cover our favorite things from 2021 as far as the top five favorite shows. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to rotate through. We're going to do our fifth, fourth, third, second, and first. We're going to start with a different person each time. And then we'll do some honorable mentions and stuff there at the end. But, Tim, we're going to start with you. What was your number five favorite? Now, these are new shows, okay? Not returning shows. Your number five favorite new show of 2021.
Folks are going to find a distinct pattern.
I should have disqualified all of the Marvel stuff.
Nope. Sorry, too late. My number five favorite new show for 2021 was Falcon and Winter Soldier.
Okay.
I, you know, great action. I mean, the thing that I have loved about all of these shows so far, these Marvel shows on Disney Plus, is that each one has a different feeling to them. They each have a different vibe. So it's not only different characters, different story, all that kind of stuff. It's a completely different take and different vision on things. The Falcon Winter Soldier was the one that felt, I'll say, the most like the MCU, because really you took your characters, you know, one of which having powers, the other one having this, you know, augmented with a suit, and it, you know, took directly from a situation at the end of Avengers Endgame and went forward from there, but also focused so intimately on these two characters and the situations that they were in and dealing with, while also addressing some real life stuff, which I really appreciated. Yeah. And some folks said they were too heavy handed with it. I didn't think so. I thought it was appropriate. It was real. I mean, some, you know, real issues with racism and that kind of stuff. And there's no reason to dance around it because it's there. And when one of the leads is a black guy, you know, that's real for them. You know, that's the kind of stuff that folks are dealing with. So it was great. I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Yeah, it was a good series.
Great action. Solid show. Yeah.
All right, Lou, your number five favorite new show of 2021.
My number five favorite show was Resident Alien. This was a show that was a long time coming, because I think I saw the first episode of this at New York Comic Con in 2019, maybe 18. I don't remember.
Sounds right.
Might have been 19. I thought this was, and this was, it probably could be even a little higher than number five in my list, but it's a fun series.
I still haven't finished it.
I mean, Alan Tudyk is just phenomenal in the role. Season two is coming back imminently. I think the 26th.
Yeah, really, a couple weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I should catch up.
Yeah,
then,
it's really excited.
Yep.
Really excited. Yeah. Such,
I mean,
a
Alan Tudyk's good.
I can't say enough good
does.
Things about this. Exactly. Yeah. Right. And he plays it really well. And the writing is good. The characters are good. The development of stuff going on. It kind of feels like it's almost like it's a cross between a comedy sci-fi show and Dexter.
Yeah, kind of.
It kind of has that feel to it, you know?
I can see that.
It's good. It's a great show.
All right. My number five, Tim told me I couldn't have on the list. Yeah, because apparently it came out in 2020, not 2021. I think I had Queen's Gambit on here. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You had Queen's Gambit.
And then I didn't know what to put on there. So, and Book of Boba Fett, by the way, for those who are asking, yes, it came out in 2021, but like a few days before the end of it. So we're not going to count that one. Okay. Sorry. It's not on the list.
We wrote this up before we
before we even saw it. Anyway, and the majority of this show is still in 2022, so we're not counting it. Anyhow, so my number five, honestly, there were a lot of shows I liked this year, and I was trying not to just go with all Marvel stuff. I mean, they were all good.
Yeah,
I liked all of them, but I was trying to shake it up a little bit, especially because I knew Tim was going to go primarily Marvel. Nothing wrong with that. They're worthy of the top five. Yeah.
Legit good shows,
I went with Inside Job, and I think part of it was a comedy that I kind of needed at the time. So it's an animated series on Netflix, definitely not for kids. And the idea is that all of these conspiracy theories about the Illuminati and us faking the moon landing and there being lizard people living underneath the earth and aliens who are shapeshifters taking over celebrities' bodies and like whatever weird conspiracy you can think of, they're all true. And there's a government agency in DC that is running and handling all of that. Like the president is a robot and stuff. So think Men in Black meets Archer meets Family Guy, maybe just a smidgen of Family Guy, not much, just a tiny little dash of Family Guy.
I need to watch this. I have not watched this. You're making me very excited about this show.
It's like the most dysfunctional workplace environment. The main character has a very dysfunctional relationship with her father, which gets a lot of focus on. It's a little bit over the top without being so far over the top that it's not funny or that it breaks the show. And I think it was just kind of a little bit of a dark silliness that I just needed in 2021. So it's a good show. It's not one of the best shows of the year. I think that I'm comfortable saying it's my number five favorite show of the year, though. It was what I needed at the time. I think it's good stuff. And Tim, I think you'll like it. Lou, I think you'll like it.
Okay.
So moving on to number four. I'm going to try to not cheat and look to see what you guys have. So, Lou, what is your number four of 2021?
My number four was Invasion. Okay. This is an Apple Plus series, I think, right?
Apple TV Plus.
Yeah, okay. Yep, Apple TV Plus. I just remember where I'm seeing these
things. Yeah, it's hard to keep track sometimes.
There's streaming services now. Yeah, but this was, so it's the alien invasion show that Apple has spent a lot of money on. The stuff they've done on their network has been very well produced. You know, good special effects, good writing, good money and talent type thing. So they're really trying to go for quality over quantity, I think, in terms of how much stuff they're putting out there. When you look at like Netflix type thing, which they do some great stuff too, but they're more of the quantity side of the equation. But this was good. The only complaint I have to say about this one is it took them a long time to get to any kind of alien showing up on screen. But I thought it was a very well produced show, and it bounces around between three or four different points of view and what's going on. And the character development was good, and the story was good, very believable. Tim, you might like that from a emergency management standpoint thing too, because it's, you know, the ultimate emergency management where, you know, aliens have now
and it's got good character stories too. I haven't finished it. I'm maybe three to four episodes in, and it's near the top of my list. So I went over one of the things I did this weekend. I narrowed down my watch list and I carved away a lot of the stuff I don't need to rewatch. And then I took what I still had left and I just shrunk it down to the priorities. You guys want to take a stab at it? How many items?
Not a clue.
I managed to 72. Narrow it down to 150. Not including the rest of the stuff I'm not counting that's still in my Netflix queue, my Amazon Prime queue, etc. Yeah. So, Invasion is in my maybe top 15 of things I have to catch up on. So,
okay. Yeah, it's definitely, I'd recommend it. It's definitely something you can't multitask when you watch it. You got to watch it because it's detailed.
But it's good because a lot of the performances, even with the kids, are very nuanced. And the acting is really, really strong, which also leads me to believe the directing is really strong.
I agree on all those parts. I mean, like I said, Apple has done a good job with paying for.
They really have. And the more I go back and watch Apple TV Plus series, like I couldn't count any of them on the list because they're all from 2020. So I couldn't include any of it. But For All Mankind, Dickinson, I started watching C, having zero interest in it. And it's actually not bad. I don't know that I'll continue it. The Morning Show even was really good. Just some really good stuff. All right. So I'm up. My number four pick is Loki. I tried not to include too many Marvel things on my list, but Loki, I loved the multiverse side of things. I always like, you know, time travel and alternate dimensions. Two of my favorite categories of science fiction. And Loki nailed it. I mean, the acting, just perfect. The concept of what's going on in the series was great. The execution of it was great. The implications of what's going on, I mean, it led right into what we're getting, what we got with Spider-Man, what we're getting with Doctor Strange. It kickstarted everything we're about to get now from the MCU for a while. It was top notch. I mean, I think Loki was, without question, one of the best series of 2021. So, Tim, what is your number four pick?
WandaVision. Okay. WandaVision is my number four. So this was the first MCU show to be released on Disney Plus. This really, I think, showed what was possible for the MCU to do in something that was episodic or serialized. They did all sorts of great things. They introduced new characters in it. I love the, just simply the storytelling that they had with it, where every kind of the meta of it, that every episode was a different era of television. And so, like, that was insanely creative and referential of all, you know, a lot of things that that we grew up with, in some cases, some things that came before us. It was just the really, really unique. And of course, you know, the crescendo to the end was this big epic thing that is going to be continuing on in movies, in MCU films. So it really set the stage. And of course, interestingly enough, Falcon Winter Soldier was actually supposed to be released first before WandaVision. And because of COVID and some of their late production issues, they ended up swapping them. And I'm really glad that WandaVision came up first. And you know, again, I know that there were some people that were turned off by the whole, like, oh my gosh, they're making this like period television thing. It's really weird. Take a step back and enjoy it for what it is and enjoy the creativity of it, which I think was fantastic. But then the fact that they're still telling a story in it, that was just like the window dressing of it. And you just still had this great continuity of a story. There was a mystery that had to be solved with it. And then every once in a while, they'd pop you out into quote present day.
Right.
And it was just like so cool to see what was going on with it. Such a great
series. The concept of it was just incredible. I think the execution of it was really good too. I think what kept it off of my list was I think that it felt like it took a while to get to the interesting stuff. But I mean, it's in my honorable mentions. Like it's one of the best series of last year. Without question, it's really good. All right, moving on to number three. I've got kind of a controversial one here on my list. I'm going to say, and people are going to roll their eyes and cringe, but the Netflix adaptation of Cowboy Bebop. Maybe I liked it because I don't have a history with the anime. I did watch maybe a third of the way through the anime prior to watching the live action. It's a fusion of everything I love, science fiction and kind of Blade Runner-y stuff and a little bit of Firefly and a little bit of cyberpunk and a little bit of film noir. And there's just so many different things all jumbled up together and put in a blender in a way that, in my opinion, works. I think that a lot of people, if you're either too in love with the anime to let go of the differences, or you can't handle the stylistic aspect of it and the fact that it's kind of noirish storytelling from a bunch of different angles, I guess. I think you'd struggle with it a little bit, but for me, it was a lot of fun. I had a lot of fun with that series. So
I think it was incredibly well done. I think it's absolutely worthy of a place on this list. Really disappointed that it didn't get renewed, hoping there's still maybe a chance of it, but man, what a great story. Great ride.
All right, Tim, you're up next. What's your number three?
Number three is the, MCU Disney Plus series that has gotten the most number of rewatches in my house, and amazingly so, because it's also the most recent.
Disney tracks the rewatches in your house? That's amazing.
No. I'm saying,
I think his wife tracked it.
I'm telling you
because you were saying I had the most rewatches of any Disney Plus series.
The way that's like saying, I'm like, walking up to Disney a woman and saying, that's "You amazing. Are the most beautiful woman in the whole wide room." It's like you build it all the way up into the end of the sentence. It's like a complete little microcosm there that just let down.
Sorry, I didn't mean to disrupt you, Tim. I'm sorry.
I'll reword this. This show has gotten more rewatches from me than any other MCU Disney Plus show. And it also happens to be the most recent, and that's Hawkeye. It was great. I mean, we had our regular watch of it, and both Rob and I enjoyed it so much that we binged it a couple of times afterwards. Just really solid, thoroughly enjoyable. Mm-hmm. Again, very different from the other ones because these are, ground level heroes, and the storytelling was fantastic. Just loved it. And again, opening doors to other things. I mean, Echo is literally going to take place. The Echo series is going to start in the final minutes of the Hawkeye series. There's going to be a touch of overlap because there was a big moment there, and that's where it's going to start. And there's other things coming off of this, a whole future for Kate Bishop and all that. And I think it was incredibly well done. Cool. Yeah, loved Hawkeye.
All right, Lou, you're number three.
My number three, again, another Apple TV Plus series. This is Foundation. So probably one of the...
Was it Apple TV Plus or HBO Max? Was it?
Apple TV.
Okay. Apple TV Plus. Yep.
Yeah.
Probably one of the... I don't know about best known, but one of the... I'm going to say foundational novels of sci-fi over the years. Yeah, exactly. It's just a classic sci-fi story that I had never really
by one of the greatest sci-fi authors of all time. Yeah,
Asimov. Yeah. And I had never read the book, and it prompted me to read the book before the series came out because I wanted to, get the first book in. And the book wasn't what I expected it was going to be. It still holds up really well based on, even today, but because it was written back in the 50s, I guess. The series they had a challenge to put the series together because it wasn't just a straightforward, hey, take this story and put it into a TV series thing, because it was done in the actual novel is three different stories put together. So it doesn't really fit real well into putting into a series without making some serious changes. And they knew they had to do some serious changes. And I think Asimov even knew that too. And his estate has helped out with the production of this going forward and making changes that he knew probably would have had to be made for a adaptation on screen of some sort, whether a movie or a TV series. So I'm on board with all that. And again, just like Apple did with Invasion, they've spent a lot of money on the production on this. Is just the special effects were amazing on this. Yeah. So yep.
Great production quality.
Exactly. I highly encourage anybody who's into sci-fi to watch this, even if you don't read the book. It's an amazing series, and I'm looking forward to season two.
Yet another one I've got to catch up on, and it's right there at the top of my watch list too. So good though. All right, Tim, definitely. You are up next. What is your number two favorite show of 2021?
It is not an MCU show.
Oh my God.
And it's not even found on Disney Plus. This was over on Netflix. This show came out of freaking nowhere. Squid Game. It got listed on Netflix, and like for two solid days, I'm seeing everyone on social media talking about it, like how like crazy and wild and amazing this was. And I'm like, oh, might as well give it a shot. So like,
right.
The following weekend we started it, and we were floored by the first episode. We're like, this is amazing. This is incredible. It's different and visionary and really violent. But just so incredibly well done. It was fantastic. Just such a great show. Thoroughly, thoroughly enjoyed it. It does not need a sequel. They're talking about a sequel. It doesn't need one. This is good.
I'm curious about this.
Wonderful.
All right, Lou, what's your number two?
My number two is, I'll go back to Tim's wall there and go for the Marvel MCU stuff. Go with Loki. This series to me was very well done. A few things missing that I was kind of looking for, answers to some things that we may never get. But, like you said, the time travel stuff for me is a huge thing in sci-fi to me. And this marked off that box. And, I like the way they've transitioned Loki from the bad guy into a likable
anti-hero.
Anti-hero is a good word for it. But he's fun. He's likable. He's playing both sides. He is the bad guy and he's a good guy sometimes, because there's other Loki variants that are around. But the comedy aspect of this worked really well for me too. There was a lot of lightheartedness in here and things that were fun about the series, whether it was him being put into what they call those punishment rooms where he would relive something forever or whatever it was. But, that was fun to me in the playing off between him and, I draw a blank now. Who was the time agent that was assigned to him?
Agent Mobius.
Mobius, yes. The play between them was fantastic. And his comedy timing was good with this. So, I really like Loki a lot.
Good,
that was
not just comedy moments, because the comedy was good, but there were also some deeper moments that were really good too, character wise, like more contemplative moments that really worked. Such a good series. All right, so my number two is back to what Tim was talking about, was Hawkeye. And this is the top of my MCU shows on the list. Kind of like you said, Tim, I like the fact that this is a guy with no actual superpowers. Those characters have always appealed to me, I think, more than like the Superman types and stuff. And
much more relatable.
Yeah. And they have additional hurdles they have to get over to be able to keep up. And I think that's more compelling story-wise. I like that. Mm-hmm. And Haley Steinfeld, wow, she just nailed this role as Kate Bishop. And I had no doubt that she would. As soon as I heard she got cast for it, I'm like, oh my gosh, I've got to see this like today. It was just, it was so good. And then what you said about Echo, and then, you know, there's a returning character that was brought in the last episode or two. The humor in that show, that was another one where the humor just worked so well. Mm-hmm. And I don't know that it's the best of the MCU shows, but it's my favorite. It plus it takes place at Christmas time and they integrated that into it. I feel like this was the best MCU show of last year. I loved it. So let's move on.
Bro, you're not wrong.
You know it, bro. All right, bro. Lou, you're up. What is your number one absolute favorite new show of 2021?
My favorite show, and again, it's going to make you guys wrong because you guys didn't list this at the top of your lists, but you know, for MCU stuff, WandaVision.
Really? you think that was number one?
I really enjoyed the series. I mean, it's not the best thing on TV. I mean, but it was very enjoyable because every episode gave you something totally different. I mean, the first three or four were, you know, this was set in one era, this was set in a different era, and it was, you know, which kind of TV shows they try and copy, and it was just,
and they did that so well,
nostalgia to get that. They did. It really did.
Yeah.
And it kept you guessing. It kept you like, what is going on here? And I think Tim mentioned it earlier too, is the whole bouncing back to real life versus what was going on in there, and then getting the surprises of, you know what was going on the whole time, and who the big bad person really was in there, and how it ties into the rest of the MCU movies is just fantastic. I mean, this is what I had hoped to have with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. you know, years ago, that we never really got to fruition. I mean, if they had done that show on Disney Plus, you know, what else would we have got? How much better would that have been to have that tied in? Because then you got the same production house doing everything. Right. That would have been like phenomenal.
Oh, and the overlap. And
stuff. Have what we got with these series here, these MCU series. All I could have put just MCU TV in my top five here as one of my lists.
We probably should have cheated and done that just to make Tim work a little harder.
Yeah. There we go. Yeah. But that was my favorite thing to watch this past year.
Noting that MCU TV is the name of our podcast.
That's true.
So, yeah, I wasn't just going to. That was not my
favorite show. That was not our favorite show of the year, but only because it didn't come out in 2021.
Wow.
It doesn't qualify, Tim. Had it started in 2021, maybe. But I think it started the end of 2020, didn't it? Okay, good.
Yes.
I'm off the hook. I was just I was winging it there. I didn't remember when it started, right?
You're hoping.
I could have been in deep trouble.
Yeah, we had a warm up to WandaVision, so I think we started at the end of 2020.
All right, my number one for the year is Squid Game. It came out of nowhere. I think I saw it the day it came out, and I was on YouTube to watch this, and I knew nobody else was going to hear about it. I knew I had to tell you guys about it because otherwise it was going to drop off your radar. You'd never see it pop up again. Nobody would ever know anything about this show.
Yeah, it had no traction. Yeah,
dude, nothing. And then 4 or 5 days into it, then the entire internet blew up. But the first few days, it was still people were still building up the hype and stuff. And it was a relative unknown. And it was one of those shows where the concept was something that we'd kind of seen similar things before, but nothing that was done this way. And it was brilliant. The second episode was a little rough at times. And I agree. I don't know that it really needs a sequel, but it was really good. I was captivated the whole time I was watching it. This might actually be one of the best as well as my favorites. So, definitely my number one. So, Tim, it's down to you. What is the number one show for you from 2021?
Mine's okay. Loki. And, you know, you guys have already talked about it. So really all the same things you guys already said. I thought it was really visionary. You've got a great cast that came into it with, you know, Lou, like you were saying, Loki is this character who is this, you know, sometimes he's a hero, sometimes he's a villain. And, you know, just how this whole character evolved. And it gave me much more appreciation for the character's arc in the films as well. Even to the extent of the second Thor movie, which is one of the most unpopular MCU movies. And it made me go back and rewatch that movie solely for the value of the story arc of Loki, because it's such a critical movie for that.
Right.
And it blew open the doors on the multiverse and timelines and that kind of stuff. So, which is, you know, basically the direction that much of the MCU is going to be in for the next phase.
Yep. All right. Well, there you go. There are our top five. That's hard to say. There are our top five. Those are the top five favorite shows we have from 2021. We do have some honorable mentions. We're going to kind of lightning around this real quick. Lou, any honorable mentions for you?
Just things that we've already mentioned, Hawkeye and Squid Game. I mean, Squid Game was different and interesting to me that we had not seen this kind of thing in the past. So it was really, you know, good to watch as far as that goes. And Hawkeye, I mean, I had to put it in my honorable mention just because we had that amazing Broadway episode at the end of the last season, last episode. I really think we're going to have Disney put a musical together.
The day I will unsubscribe from Disney Plus. I sat through that whole stupid post-credit scene thinking there's got to be something more. There's got to be a punchline at the end. There's got to be, and there was nothing. It was the punchline.
The whole thing was the punchline.
No, that was fantastic. It was an actual song written by Broadway people, performed by Broadway actors to do this.
That makes
and
me want to go to Broadway less, Lou. It's
oh, come on. That was fun. And I'm not a musical guy either, but I mean, that was fun.
All right. I'll go next so that Tim, you can have the last word here. My honorable mentions, Only Murders in the Building, I thought was really good. What If, WandaVision, I agree with you guys. I think it was really good. Just didn't quite make my top five. Resident Alien, Foundation, and Invasion, I didn't include because even though I think they're good, I haven't finished them yet. And same for Welcome to Earth. And Invincible. I thought Invincible, especially for an animated series, was unbelievably good and surprising. And the final episode was just so impactful and so powerful. And I can't wait for the next season. So Invincible was the one that was probably the most painful for me not to include in my top five. So Tim, bring us home here. What are your honorable mentions for 2021?
Well, Eric, you mentioned What If. What If really showed what the MCU can do with animation that is part of the MCU.
They did so well with it.
You know, this wasn't just like some animated thing that really wasn't, quote, canonical. And I almost in the MCU now, I hate to use the term canonical because timelines and multiverse and et cetera. But like it mattered. Only Murders in the Building, you mentioned Cowboy Bebop, we talked about Resident Alien, we talked about Foundation, we talked about the only other one, and I'm cheating a little bit because it was the latest season of it, but I have to mention something in animation from Netflix because I love what they do, and that's Castlevania. Netflix animation really is fantastic. They just do, it's like a home run every frickin' time. It's so good. And yeah, they had a great conclusion to the Castlevania series. So I cheated with that one, but
cool.
There it is.
All right. Well, that's going to do it. That's our show. Our top five favorite new shows of 2021. Our next top five, what's that?
Plus Castlevania.
Plus Castlevania. Plus Castlevania. Top five plus one. So, let us know what you think of this series. If you guys like us doing top five lists like this, I think we're going to keep it at top five because, you know, we're running about a half hour. That seems to be a good length. Next up, we have our top five biggest surprises of 2021. And then I think that's going to wrap up 2021 and we'll move on to other topics at that point. But yeah, next up, our top five biggest surprises, whether surprised that it was so good, surprised it was so bad, or maybe just a topical sort of surprise for 2021. And that'll close up our 2021 series coming out of this first month of 2022. So until next time, keep in mind we will be doing movie chatter on Tuesday nights at 8:30 p.m. This upcoming episode, we're going to be covering Ghostbusters Afterlife, and then we will be doing The Matrix Resurrections the following week. And then we will be back next Sunday night with more Book of Boba Fett on Force Chatter and more reviews here on Random Chatter. So don't forget to hit the website, randomchatter.com. If you're listening to the audio podcast for this, go to youtube.com/randomchatter and hit the subscribe and like button and throw some comments down below. Tell us what your five favorite new shows of 2021 were. Don't forget, go do it now so you don't forget because we want to know. All right. That's it. Take care, everybody. We will see you again soon.